chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. We're going to read four verses together. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 24 through 28 together. We'll read this responsively. I'll pray, we'll have a special, and then I'll come back and preach. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 28. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And let's finish on verse 28 together. Ready? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. I pray that you would use me, use my voice today to be a blessing to your people. Lord, help us as we investigate your word. Help us to take what you say and forget what man has said and take you at face value today, please. Teach us a truth that will change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you have been in church 6 months of your life, you've probably heard Romans 8:28 either taught on, preached on, or at least quoted. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let me start by saying this, probably one of the most misused verses in all the Bible.
Yes.
One of the most misunderstood verses in all the Bible. We have allowed man to, and I hate using this word because I don't want you to think that everybody has to be some ignoramus, but we've allowed intellectualism to teach us that it's something that it's not. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I do have sharpness, and I'm not unintelligent. But let me tell you something. I think God's quite capable of telling us what this book says. We don't need man's opinion about this book. We need this book.
Yes.
And God very clearly tells us here something differently than what most people will teach you about this verse, and I want to help you today. Most people will tell you that when things go bad, God will work it out for the good. And I hate to tell you something, that's not what Romans 8:28 teaches.
That's right.
Romans 8:28 does not say that God is going to work it out for good. Now, everybody look at me. It's going to be okay. Not this week, but the week before last, I had a young man and his wife call me. I got to marry them about 3 years ago. Paul and Alicia Arcola, Brother Kevin Arcola over in Blacksville, West Virginia, his son and daughter-in-law. And Alicia was one of ours and a bus kid that grew up and graduate. They both graduated from Bible college and now serving with Brother Arcola out in Blacksville. Paul called me and said, he said, Brother Bush, he said, I got to keep a secret from my dad. Number one, I need you to tell me how to tell my mom and dad, but I need a little help. And they were having some insurance difficulties, thanks to our president. And that was part of it. And then he said, well, the reason being is Alicia and I think we're expecting. I said, well, congratulations. And I was all excited for them. I was trying to help them. We finally got some things squared away, and on Friday of that week, they confirmed by blood test they were 2 months expecting. Oh, I was excited. Happy for them. Happy for Brother Kevin. He texted me and said, I'm going to be a grandpa. I said, yeah, I know before you did. And he said, I know. I was just letting you know it's positive, but we haven't told no grandmas yet. And so they were going to tell them later that day, and it was just one of those big events, and I was very happy for them. Last Sunday night, I got home from church. My phone buzzed, and it was Paul. And he said, Preacher, he said, Alicia lost the baby right before church tonight. Oh, my heart. it broke. He said, I haven't told Dad yet. He said, I'll let you know when I let Dad know later tonight. He said, Dad's at church counseling. I don't want to bother him right now. Oh, my heart was crushed. We went from here to down here that quick. The baby's in heaven, and all is good. But may I say something? It's not a good situation. It's not. Just because the baby's in heaven doesn't take the pain away. Just because there is a heaven doesn't mean they don't hurt. They had a little service for the little one on Monday, and just bless their hearts. Miss Kim, she got hit by a drunk driver a few years ago and had two neck surgeries or three? Two. May I say this? That wasn't a good thing. I don't care what anybody says. Just because she's doing better doesn't mean it was a good thing. And I'm going to teach you two things today. Number one is God gets blamed for a lot of things that he shouldn't get blamed for. Number two, show you how to turn it into good. A lady in this church, I won't say who, you may guess, but you probably won't, who's terribly afflicted with arthritis. Terribly. If you only knew how bad this person hurts. And yet, you'll never see this person down. Never see this person discouraged or letting on like they're hurting due to other complications. She's kind of the main breadwinner at the moment in the household. And yet, keeps on going. Can I tell you something? Not a good situation. But there's good coming from it. Now, God doesn't tell us that he is going to turn our negative into good. Look at Romans 8:28 again. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Nowhere does it say that God is going to turn it into good. It does not say, and we know that God will work all things together for good. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. It doesn't say that God is going to turn the bad into good. We might need to push that door just a little bit, just in case I'm bothering somebody in the building here. they need the message, but I don't need the grief. He doesn't say that every bad situation is going to turn into good. But God does say that these negative situations can have good come out of them. Title of today's sermon is this: Who Makes It Good? Who makes it good? It is not God's fault that the negative happened. Let me say that again. It is not God's fault that the negative happened. I don't believe God looked down to Miss Kim and said, bless God, I want a drunk driver to hit her. God doesn't work that way. I don't believe God looked down and said, I want to necessarily take Paul and Alicia's baby. Now, God is the giver and taker of life, yes. I don't believe that this person in our church with the arthritis problem they have, I don't think God afflicted them with it. But I believe, like everybody else that should believe this, there is a penalty on sin. Yes. We are not going to face judgment for our sin if we're saved. Now watch this. But there is a law of sowing and reaping. Did you know, if you break the speed limit and the police officer pulls you over, you're going to pay the ticket, whether you're saved or lost? At least you're supposed to. Did you know that it rains on the just and the unjust? Did you know that I know good, godly people? I know Baptist preachers that have had cancer and died. Or heart trouble and died.
Yes, sir.
I know pastors' wives who have gotten cancer and died while their husband pastored a church. Just because they were doing God's will doesn't mean bad things don't come, because guess what? We're all sinners. And because we're all sinners, there's a law of sowing and reaping. God doesn't stop the process of sowing and reaping for anybody. Did you know that if you plant seeds, you're going to get crop?
Yes, true.
Did you know that if you don't plant seeds, you're not going to get crop?
That's right.
It's that simple. So if you have sown sin, guess what? There's going to be problems reaped because of it. Now, here's what I want to help you with. Let me show you what I mean. God orders our life. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has a will. He has an order or a plan for your life. I believe before you're born, he says, I have a plan here, and I need this person to fulfill that plan, and I'll create that person to do this thing. God made this ugly lump of flesh 49 years ago to do what I'm doing today. I have followed the steps all the way through to 49 years to be right where I'm at today. I'm doing what he wanted me to do, what he created me to do, and I've been following that plan. Don't you think I've had problems along the way? If we're not careful, we're going to get into this Pentecostal charismatic mentality of, well, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. That's not true.
That's right. Preach on.
Just because you're living right does not mean you don't have problems. Everybody doing okay? Say why? Proves we're all sinners.
Yes.
Proves we're all sinners. Now, Job. Let me use the illustration in the Bible, and I don't have time to take us there, but if you went to Job chapter 1, you'll find out that the devil went to God in heaven and said, I want somebody to prove that they won't serve you like you think they will. He said, hast thou considered my servant Job? He's an upright man who serves me and eschews evil. He said, you can try anything you want to him. He's going to follow the will for his life. He said, nah. He said, you let me after him. He said, he'll change his mind. He said, no. I have a will for his life. He will do the will of God. Satan tried. Job kept doing the will of God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Hello. Satan comes back and said, skin for skin. All the man hath, he'll give for his health. He said, you can do anything you want to Job, but kill him. He said, you can afflict him physically all you want, but he'll follow the will of his life that I have laid out for him. God took Job's health. God took the loyalty of his wife and his friends. And yet, Job, in all this, the Bible says Job sinned not. It didn't mean that he was perfect. What it meant was he didn't deviate from the will of God for his life. He kept going through doing the will of God for his life. That's why his wife said, just curse God and die. Why don't you just realize God doesn't want you to do this? He said, no, God made me to do something. And because God made me to do it, he equipped me to make it through. Can I tell you something? When it's the will of God, you can't give up because God equipped you to do it.
Right.
You don't have to worry about it if you're doing the will of God, no matter what the opposition. God made you to withstand it because that's why he created you. And he will not let the devil take you out of the will of God. You can say, I won't take it anymore and I'll stop. Or you can keep going because God made you to keep on going. Now, God's plan for Job didn't change because the negative came. God's plan for Job did not change because the negative changed. By the way, that's why when Job got to the end, God blessed Job with double. He kept going on the will of God for his life. You could disagree with me. This is my opinion. God gave him twice as much as he had before the persecution. But had Job not faced that persecution, we don't know what the end result would have been. He may have lost it all and never got it back.
Or he may have just maintained what he had. But God, because Job kept going, blessed him with double what he had before.
Now, I say that to say this. Job did not change. God did not change for Job because of the negative, but God expected Job to keep doing God's will and not turn around and not quit. Job turned the will of God into something good. God gets blamed for a lot of the bumps and the potholes that come our way.
Yes, sir.
Where's Brother Joe? Brother Joe locked his keys in the car this morning and his wife's keys in the car this morning at the same time. You say, was that the will of God? No, the will of God was that they came to church.
Yes.
The bump in the road, I'm not sure who brought it on. Could have been Joe. Who knows? But I do know this. I do know that they did the will of God. And we called the sheriff and they came out and popped it in a few minutes and everything's okay. Because we didn't have any good enough thieves in here to break into that thing. And that's not all bad, just so you know. God charts a course for our life, and God expects us to follow that course. No matter what bad, no matter what negative, no matter how many potholes come our way, we're supposed to still keep going on the course for our life. Are you doing okay? Rhonda just stepped out. Listen to this very carefully. The negative of Ray's death recently, just a few months ago, she's using it for good. She still hurts. She still grieves. She still weeps. She still is lonely. But can I tell you something? You don't know how many people she's witnessed to, how many people have gotten saved, and how many people she's strengthened because of how she's going through this. She took something bad and turned it into something good. It wasn't God taking bad that God created. By the way, it was God's will that Ray go to heaven when he went to heaven. Why should we question it? I'll be honest with you. I miss Ray. That was my buddy. I've known Ray almost 30 years. And I still hurt. But may I say this? Rhonda's taken that negative and she's still living the course for her life. She's still doing what she's supposed to do. And God is taking that and she's turning it into good, even though it's a bad situation. Everybody doing all right? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, again, God does not tell us that he is going to work it out for good. He plans a chart for our life, and it's our job to turn those negative things into good. It's our job. And we know that all things work together for good. How? To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's something that's fun. He places the doing of good on us, not him. Say why? Because he's not the one that did wrong or did bad or did negative. God didn't sin. We did. And by the way, it's not God judging you for your sin. If you are saved, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is no judgment placed on your sin. The judgment for your sin was taken care of at Calvary. You wake up with the flu, barfing your guts out. I'm sorry, throwing up in the commode. You get sick. Oh, God's judging me. No, God's not judging you. You're facing the consequences of being around somebody that had the flu.
Yes, sir.
If you got poison ivy, it's because you were out in the poison ivy, not because God's judging you.
That's right.
Come on. Amen? Right, Hannah? don't shake her hand. No, it's okay. Now, I say that to say this. Too many people, they go through a problem and say, well, God's judging me for this. God's chastising me for this. I mean, chastises you when you've been disobedient. Everybody doing okay? And he only does that because he loves you and wants you to get back on the will of God for your life. if it's the will of God that you're not doing, he's trying to whack you upside the head to get you back onto his will so that you keep doing what he's doing. But he didn't put those things in your path just to be mean to you and to judge you for it. He's trying to coach you along to get you going. Boy, that's a good statement. So let me get to the heart of the sermon here. Number one, it's our job to love God by staying in his will. Look at Romans 8:28 again. I want to show you something. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Watch this, comma. It does not say and. He clarifies it with another statement, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Can I tell you how you show God you love him? By staying according to the calling of your life. Doing his will. You show God how much you love him by how much you obey his will for your life. That is exactly how you love God. You do his will. Hurry up, Doc. Thanks. When you come back in, sit over there by the piano for me so you don't have to walk all the way back across, all right? He's okay. I'm not mad at him. Everybody look at me. I'm better looking than him anyway. Not much, but a little bit. Now, notice it doesn't say to those that love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Did you know God has a will for Jesse's life just as much as God has a will for my life?
Yes, sir.
Do you know God has a will for Ashley's life as much as God has a will for my life? And thank God my will isn't her will. Because I don't want Joe. Now, listen to me very carefully. Did you know that 98% of the will of God is right there?
Yes, sir.
If you'll do what that says right there, you could get a 98 on the will of God for your life. So many people are so worried about where they do something that they don't do what they're supposed to do. Do you know the what of God's will is more important than the where? I know that I'm supposed to tell people about Jesus and to try to keep them out of hell. Guess what? You can't tell the wrong one. If I went soul winning on the wrong street, I guess God would forgive me. Everybody doing all right? Was it last week, Brother June? Where are you at? There you are. Brother June, Brother Barnes, I gave them an address to go see somebody, and that person wasn't home, but the person that was at the house got saved. I said, it wasn't the wrong address, it was the right house. That's how God works.
Amen.
You know, I don't have to spend weeks in prayer over what person to go tell Jesus about. I can't tell the wrong one. And please don't get mad at me for saying this. I've dealt with a lot of Bible college students. They're so concerned about going to the right place. Doing the right thing is more important than going to the right place.
Yes, sir.
If you're doing the right thing, God will forgive you if you're in the wrong place.
Amen.
I really believe that. Because 98% of the will of God is right there. If we would all just do what that book says, guess what? God will show us where the where is.
Yes,
I promise you that. I never worry about the where. I worry about doing the what. When I'm doing the what right, guess what? The where takes care of itself.
Yes, sir.
Now, God wants us to obey him in good times. God wants us to obey him when it's not going so good. Did you know it's easy to obey God when everything's going real good? When it starts getting a little tougher is when it starts, well, I'm just not sure this is what I'm supposed to do. Here's what Baptists have said for about 5 decades. I'll keep doing God's will till he closes the door. Did you know the devil can close the door too? Well, as long as everything's going good, I'll keep doing this. But if something comes in my way, I guess God doesn't want me to do it. Show me that anywhere in the Bible. Matter of fact, I'm going to go as far as to say this. The will of God swings on the hinge of opposition. If it's all going good, you better turn around and make sure you're going the right way. Because usually, if you're going against the devil, you're going to face opposition.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Gates don't charge you. You charge the gates.
That's right.
We're supposed to attack the gates of hell. Every Sunday morning, I text about 18, 20 different pastors and assistant pastors around the country. Last thing I said this morning, let's attack the gates of hell. Guess what? We're attacking the gates of hell. When you attack the gates of hell, you're going to face opposition.
Yes.
Amen, Brother Jimbo. This week, Brother Jimbo takes care of our bus, making sure it's all gassed up, fueled up, and ready to go for us. Look this way. He got all the way up to the sheets at Spring Mills, pulled into the parking lot, and the bells and whistles started going off. The lights started going crazy on the dashboard, and he had no brakes. I mean, gone. Air brakes, gone. No pedal, no air, no nothing. I get this phone call. Preacher? Where are you at? I'm at Sheets. I said, is it stopped? Yeah, it's okay. I said, I'll come get you. I'll figure out what to do with it. I got there. He had a roll of duct tape he's trying to get out. And I said, no. Gotta love West Virginians, amen. Yeah. Duct tape and baling twine, we can fix anything. Yeah. I said, can you tell what it, he said, yeah. He said, come here, look at this. Right where the air pump is for the brakes, the main line, probably a half-inch line, the compression fitting busted loose and a pipe came out of the thing. So I think I pulled that thing tight enough with some duct tape. I said, hang on, I just called Brother Mike and he's in the area. He said he can fix it. I got up there, took a picture of it, shot it to Brother Mike. He said, I know exactly how to fix that. Quick, easy fix. A couple hours later, Brother Mike got there. He said, about a 5-10 minute fix. We had it all back together. Thank God that thing wasn't full of bus kids this morning coming to church and that thing happened. I was having a spell. God protected us. Now, I wasn't happy it happened to Brother Jimbo. I was glad nobody else was on the bus when it happened, and I was glad it was at Sheets when it happened. Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
we took something bad and turned it into something good.
Amen.
Matter of fact, it didn't even cost us anything because Brother Mike found the money that morning in a project he was doing. Actually, God gave him the wherewithal cash-wise to pay for the job. God's good, isn't he? He had just said, God, what am I going to use that for? Wonder how I can use that. He said, that's just a couple hours ago, preacher. He said, find out what it was for. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you something? We can take a bad situation. Well, can't trust that bus. Can now. You're going to face opposition. Don't you think the devil doesn't want this to work? You throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one you hit. And when you start hitting the devil, he's going to start yelping and coming back at you. He's not real happy with this church, and I thank God. What's the old children's song? The devil's mad, and I am glad he lost the soul he thought he had. The devil's mad, and I am glad he lost the soul he thought he had. And I am. Can I tell you something? You're not going to do the will of God and everything be puppy dogs and pussy willows. It's not going to go easy all the time. Jesus in the Mount of Olives, right before Calvary, wanted to stay the path no matter what. And he said, God, he said, I'm sweating blood right now. I'm at the brink of death. I feel like I'm about to die. And Father, if you just let me get to Calvary, that's what I came here for. But if you want me to die then, before I get there, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He wasn't asking not to die. Jesus wasn't afraid to die. He had already been to heaven. He wasn't asking God to keep him from dying. He wasn't asking God to keep him from pain. He said, God, I feel like I'm about to die now, and I don't want to go through this process all over again. If you could just keep me alive till I could get to Calvary and die, that was the purpose of my coming here. But if not, your will, not mine. Are you doing all right? Well, don't you think Jesus faced opposition? Look how many towns Jesus went to and had to escape for his life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he went about doing good. Everybody doing all right? We need to do God's will if it goes well. We need to do God's will if it goes bad. We need to have church whether we have good attendance. We need to have church whether we have bad attendance. We need to go soul winning when it's good weather. We need to go soul winning when it's bad weather.
We need to go soul winning when we feel like it, which is never. And we need to go soul winning when we don't feel like it, which is most of the time. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. We need to quit blaming God for the negatives in our life.
I told Paul and Alicia this week, I said, don't blame God. They said, oh, preacher, no way. We know this is what God needed for us for some reason. I said, Paul, you don't understand this because you're too young. I said, you're my son's age. I said, you're still green behind the ears. I said, but Paul, God's going to use this so that you can help people in the ministry for the rest of your ministry. When you have to sit beside a couple who's lost a baby, lost one in the womb or out of the womb, you'll understand. You're going to be able to hurt with them in a way that you were not able to hurt before. I said, God didn't do it for that purpose, but you can turn this negative into something helpful in your life. God will take that and turn it into something good if you'll do good with it. Now,
number two, I got to hurry. God charts a plan or a will for every person's life. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That word steps means marching orders. It literally means marching orders. Do you know that when you get marching orders, that's a platoon or company or group of soldiers that are going into battle. They get marching orders. They're to go from point A to point B. Guess what? They're in enemy territory and they're getting shot at and they're getting opposed. But the orders don't change just because they face heavy fire. They're supposed to complete the orders.
Yes, sir.
God said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He has the process all planned out. It's our job to face that opposition and turn it into something good. The opposition isn't planned in the orders. The orders are planned. You can't plan what the enemy is going to do to you all the time. Believe me. But may I say this? The process of getting from point A to point B is planned. It's our job to take that opposition and do something good with it while we go through it or after we get through it. Boy, that's a good statement. That's why so many war generals and war leaders generally make good presidents, not the draft dodgers,
right,
or her husband. I shouldn't have said it that way. I should have been meaner. I mean, now, you may sincerely think you're following orders, but still face difficulty, and you have to turn it into good.
Well, I got saved and thought all my problems were going to go away, preacher. I thought everything was going to be all right. Well, your eternity's going to be all right, but guess what? Once you got saved, it could get a little bit more intense. Say why? Because now the devil's fighting against you. He had you before. He didn't need to fight you. Now he's going to fight against you a little bit. Can I tell you something? Praise God, we're about to close on the property. The battle is not over. It's just getting started. We'll get closed on a loan for the construction portion of it. We'll start building the building. Guess what? The battle will not be over. We'll have our first services in there. And we're going to pack that building out. But guess what? We're going to face opposition.
Yes, sir.
Just so you know, it's coming. Just because we go to the next level, it just means there's going to be more attack.
Yeah.
Everybody doing all right?
I'm having fun here. Steps means companion. Did you know when God orders the steps for you, he plans to go through that with you?
He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you the Word of God to help you do the will of God. Did you know God will not ask you to do something contrary to that book right there? Ever. He'll never ask you to do something contrary to that book. And as long as we do with what that book says, guess what? He's going through it with us. You never have to do the will of God alone in your life.
Man, I love that. By the way, that's why it says in the book of Job, in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Job turned the opposition into twice what it was before the opposition. Job took what God gave him, got through it all, and turned it into double. It wasn't God, it was Job turning the negative into the good. God had a plan for Job. Job stayed on that will. We show God how much we love him by obeying the will of God for our lives. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Exactly.
Obey me. Obey my will. And when you do my will, you show me that you love me. I used to tell my kids all the time when they were little, you show mommy and daddy you love me, love us by how you obey us. If you disobey, you don't love me.
Right.
I used to kill my daughter. No, daddy, I love you. No, you don't. You're disobeying me. No, I love you. No, you don't. Try telling her that when she starts dating seriously. You don't love me. Yes, I do. No, you don't. She'll figure that one out here before too long, I'm sure. Now, and I'm teasing, of course, but may I say this? We show God we love him by our obedience to him. By the way, we don't show God we love him by how much we know about him. We show God we love him by how much we do. How much we obey. I said this recently in a sermon. I know a lot about that little lady sitting right there. I've been married to her for 27 years. Next October 10th will be the 29th anniversary of our first date. I've known her for almost 29 years. I can tell you a lot of facts about her, but that doesn't mean that I love her. Just because I know a lot of facts about somebody doesn't mean I love them. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
And it doesn't mean I really know them. What do I do with the facts that I do know? How much do I obey her? That's how much I love her. Number three. It's our job. That was pretty good, wasn't it? I slid that one in. Some of you just got that one like, should we laugh or not? Brother June, can you crack that door back open? It's getting really steamy in here, and it's about to get hotter in the sermon. Number three, it's our job to find the good we can make out of the opposition or negative that comes our way. It's up to us to find the good in what is done negatively or in opposition to us in our life. Why do we humans think that it's God's job to fix the mess that we make by sin? God didn't sin. We did.
Yes, sir, that's true.
Why is it that we get cancer?
We get heart trouble. We get bad news from the doctor. We get this. We get that. Oh, God, I'll do this if you change this. We start making deals with God. It wasn't God's fault. You got it to begin with. Why don't we turn that negative that comes our way into something good along the way?
We need to find what good we can get out of a bad situation. I was thinking through some illustrations of great people from yesteryear. A man named Dr. Bill Rice was a preacher. He was the brother of Dr. John Rice. Dr. Bill Rice and his wife, Kathy, had a daughter who was deaf. They learned sign language, of course, for their daughter so they could communicate with her. And she had to learn as well as them. And they began getting a burden for the deaf people. And in the 1950s, they started a place called the Bill Rice Ranch. Originally started for deaf people to go to a camp and get the gospel preached to them, and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands throughout the years have gone there and gotten saved because of one little girl that was born deaf to a preacher. Now they have camp for hearing as well as, and have for years now. It's changed. It's not what it used to be. But may I say this? I think the last statistic I read was over 18,000 people had been saved at the Bill Rice Ranch. One little deaf girl born to one family. Look what good they did with it. Instead of complaining about it, instead of saying, oh, God's not good to us, our daughter can't hear like everybody else, they turned it into something positive and saw tens of thousands of people get saved because of it. By the way, God didn't do that. They did that. God gave them the wherewithal to do it and helped them as they did the path for their life. Dr. and Mrs. Lee Robertson. You know Dr. Robertson, Highland Park Baptist Church, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 40 and a half years pastored that church.
Yes.
40 years in a row, baptized over 1,000 people. Amazing fella. Dr. Robertson was about my height, a little less weight, not much. I started a low-fat diet recently because all my fat's down low. But Dr. Robertson, he was not the most flamboyant personality. Wore a double-breasted navy blue suit everywhere he went. Dr. Robertson preached 25, 30 minutes. In his latter years, 15 minutes at most. Never forget it. Here's how he talked. Point number one, go to church. Three to thrive. You need Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church. Three meals a day. Three spiritual meals a week. Three to thrive. Number two, love God. Number three, he would just preach just like that. Amazing man. Well, Dr. and Mrs. Robertson had a daughter who died at 9 weeks old. Oh, it was her first baby. They called her Joy. And little Joy died at 9 weeks old, 2 months and 1 week. Dr. and Mrs. Robertson were grief-stricken. They were heartbroken. And as their hearts were broken, he started looking, and there was 20 acres across town that came up for sale. He offered them $3,000 for it. And the seller said, great, you got 7 days to come up with the money, or I'll sell it to somebody else. Dr. Robertson didn't have 10 cents to rub together. He begged God, prayed, came down with $3,000, and they took that 20 acres and turned it into Camp Joy. 26,000 people have gotten saved at Camp Joy through the years. Amen. Because of the death of a little 9-week-old baby. You know, it's our job to take that negative and turn it into something good. The doing of God's will shows us how much we love him and shows him how much we love him. And may I say this, we can turn bad and negative and opposition into something good.
Yes,
sir. We have a lot of new people in our church. Listen to this very carefully. And I mean every word I'm about to say, you should never criticize anybody.
Amen.
For this. This church was started out of opposition. A bad situation. That's as far as I'll go with that, but may I say this? I stood in the parking lot this morning talking to a fellow who was son of a Methodist minister. He said, 4 years this been a church? I said, yes, sir. We're getting ready to close on a piece of property and build a building. He said, that's exciting. How big's your church? I told him. He said, wow. He said, what group are you hooked up with? I said, I'm independent, old-fashioned, temperamental, fundamental Baptist.
Amen.
He said, oh, one of those kind.
Yep.
I said, yes, sir, that's me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He said, that's a lot harder. You don't have anybody else backing you. I said, it's not real hard when you got God backing you.
Amen.
I said, we're having fun. But this church was started in opposition, a bad situation. You know, ask my wife. I said, we're not gonna mourn and cry. We're gonna do something with it. God's got a plan. We'll just do God's plan. I wasn't real clear what God's plan was for a couple months, but can I tell you something? God made it real clear.
Amen.
And guess what?
Over 2,500 people gotten saved. God's using it.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? It's up to us to turn it into something good. Quit complaining about the opposition. And by the way, I'm not angry with anybody. I'm not angry with any part of any of it, just so you know. I'm not bitter. If I have an enemy, I'm not their enemy. They might be mine, but I am not theirs.
Right.
I'm doing fine. I don't avoid anybody. Everybody doing okay?
Right.
I'm not angry or upset with anybody. I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm here to do what God called me to do. In January of 1976, I went into Altman Hospital with a hip disease. For 3 weeks, I laid there in traction with 10 to 12 pounds hanging off the end of my leg, and they fitted me for a brace that I would wear for 2 years, and I would walk on about a 2-inch square piece of rubber that came a couple inches off the end of my heel. It would take all the weight from my left leg, transfer it across my pelvis to my right leg, and I didn't put this foot down on the ground with weight for 2 years. 23 months. Lying there in a hospital as a scared little kid, a pastor and the assistant pastor from the church we were at came to my hospital room. Dr. Harold Henniger and Bob Johnson came to my room. We talked a little bit. He prayed with me. He walked out. Lying there on my back, I looked up and said, God, I wonder if someday I could go to a hospital room and help somebody feel better like they just helped me. And I didn't know this, but that was the inception of my call to preach. God started working that thing over. I didn't know how many thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of times I would visit hospitals. Just a couple weeks ago, at the hospital with Larry and Sherry, with her brother Ricky dying and going to heaven, I went back in my mind to a 8-year-old boy laying there in a hospital, remembering what a preacher did for me. And I got to do it again. I decided I was going to take something bad and turn it into something good. Don't take this the wrong way, but when I got up this morning, my hip hurt too. It reminds me it's still there. Regularly. Can I tell you something? Every time it hurts, it just reconfirms I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I thank God for it. I wish the pain wouldn't hurt so bad sometimes. No big deal. Someday they'll cut it out and put a new one in and everything will be okay. Get rid of the square peg in a round hole and put two bionic parts in and on we'll go.
Yes, sir.
I'm not ready for that next week, though, just so you know. Don't Google hip replacement surgery. I watched an 8-minute video on YouTube one day and thought, that was the wrong thing to do. I have sawzalls and chisels and hammers in my basement that are the same that they use in one of those surgeries. And I'm thinking, And they take a cordless drill with a reamer on it. And I'm thinking, You know, that was not the smartest thing in the world to do. You just don't watch things like that. I did. But don't do it. Now, wait a minute. You say, preacher, what's the next step? We're just going to keep stepping in the will of God. And we're going to face the opposition that comes our way. And everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
And we know that all things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It does not say
God works it out for good. It's our job to take the negative and turn it into something good. It's our job to take that negative and make something good out of it. Oh, my soul. I look across this room and see the heartbreak and the burdens. And if you only knew what I knew about heartache and burdens in this room right now. But can I tell you something? Turn it into something good. Turn it into something good. Say, well, my kids are a mess and they're adults. Okay, turn it into something good. Help somebody else's kids not turn out that way. Take the negative in your life and turn it into something good. Quit sitting there in the mully grubs over it. Do something and turn it into something good. We all face heartache. We all face pain. We all face negative opposition. It doesn't mean God hates your guts. Matter of fact, it could mean God thinks you're like Job, and he thinks you can handle it and stay in his will. Maybe we just ought to decide to do God's will, no matter what comes our way. By the way, it doesn't change the fact that bad's coming, negative's coming. But it will help you know that you love God. And it's all going to work out for good. Do you know how many funerals I have preached? None of them are good. But I've seen a lot of people get saved because of it.
Yes,
A couple weeks ago, we did Ricky's memorial service right here. 9 people got saved. Glory. I led a couple people to the Lord a couple years ago. Bob Hickey and his fiance and his son Bobby. You drive with him, and Wiley, you drive with him. I led him to Christ. Son had 26 years old, had 28 brain tumors. Led him to Christ. Pulled out my little 3x5 card that you may know that you have eternal life with a little arrow on it that I use. That sat beside his, he took it with him, had it in his pocket, sat beside his bed on his deathbed. My dad and I were there 6 hours before he died, and his head was turned to the side of the bed looking at that card. They said, he knows he's going to heaven. Got to the funeral, my wife was with me, they had that very card sitting in the casket with him. Some other guy was doing most of the funeral, but they wanted me to say a few things, and the guy got up and cursed and swore and did all kinds of weird stuff. I said, are you going to give the gospel? Yeah. I said, you going to give an invitation? Oh, I'd never do that. I said, good, I will. Got up and preached. I think 32 people got saved. The president of the trucking company that you drive for was there and raised his hand for salvation. I didn't do that, but we decided to take something negative and turn it into something good. God's used that family to feed families in this church over and over and over again. You didn't even know it. You say, what is it? They've taken that negative and turned it into something good. Let's do the same thing. It's not God's job to take that negative and turn it into something good. That's our job. He has a will for your life. Let's follow that will, and let's take that negative and turn it into something good. Let's attack the gates of hell and make the devil mad. That's the only way I know how to say it. Every time the negative comes my way, I just grit my teeth and say, look out, smutty face, here I come. It might hurt, and I might take a beating, but I already read the last chapter. I know who wins, and I'm going through it. And you're going to pay for it this time, dude. And I just grit my teeth a little harder, and here we go. That's how you turn negative into bad. It's our job to turn the negative into good, not God's. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I've never trusted Christ. I'm not sure that if I died, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. First of all, who would say, preacher, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Is there one that would say, preacher, if I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven? Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere tucked inside that sermon, there's a truth I needed today. I needed that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, we can take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized and like to join an old-fashioned, independent, Bible-preaching church, we'd love to have you come today.